Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Well, yes, it is Steve Arterburn, and joining me today, Dr. Alice Benton, Dr. Dave Stoop. Hi, guys. Welcome to New Life Live.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Good morning, gentlemen.
As you know, they don't trust me to do this program by myself, and these are two very, very fine radio monitors for me. So, welcome. And if you want to join us, here is that phone number, 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. We would love for you to be on the air with your question. 1-800-229-3000. In the meantime, I was just talking with Alice and Dave. I preached this past Sunday at Northview Church on abortion and life, and I was talking about the tough questions of what about the life of the mother, what about incest, what about rape, disability, deformity, things like that. If you want to hear that, we have it listed at newlife.com. It's on the Heard It on the Radio page on our website. I hope you'll be encouraged by that, but it is not shocking to me, but it might be to others, just how many people in a church have a story,
yes,
that relate to an abortion in the past, either paying for it, pressuring to have it done, or having chosen that, or maybe being pressured into it.
You know, what's interesting is that people take a position on it, but when it hits their family, it's like you never know what they're going to do. Because
yeah,
I've worked with families,
yeah,
and they make different choices.
Yeah, they do.
And
they
regret it.
Well, and you'll hear in this message, if you listen, there's no judgment, there's no shame on people that made a decision like I did. But, you know, there's tough truth to hear, but there's tremendous compassion and grace from God for any decision that you make. And so I hope you'll listen. If you've ever had any kind of situation in the past related to abortion, and you've never talked about it especially, and that was one of the great thrills. Misty and I prayed for people for an hour after that last service, and the stories are quite incredible, the emails I've gotten also. Today, we're going to talk to you about anything you want to talk about, and then at 10:30, Shelley Martinkus is going to come and talk about Restore. That's coming up February the 23rd there in Orange County, and she is such a champion for the healing of women who have been impacted, as she was, by some kind of sexual integrity problem on the part of the husband. And if you know you're walking around angry, waiting for him to get his act together, wait no more. You don't have to wait. You literally can take matters in your own hands for your own healing. That's what Restore is all about. We'll talk about it then. Also, you might be interested to know that our featured product is that amazing, they ran out of it at Amazon, the Understanding and Loving a Person with Attention Deficit Disorder. That's our featured resource this month. And anybody giving a gift, and we do encourage those gifts, we need them. We'll send you 7 ways to choose healing. A lot of us sit around and wait to be healed. There are things the Bible tells us we can do to experience healing. We don't have to sit around and wait for God to do what I think God just might be waiting for us to do. All right, you hear the music, we'll take a break. Glad you're with us today. Did you know that New Life exists for one purpose? To transform people's lives. Not to make you feel better, Although when you call, we won't make you feel worse. Hopefully, we will feel better. But we want to see lives transformed. That's what we're here for. And we'll try to do that with some good advice right after this on New Life Live.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Alice Benton in local practice there in the Southern California area. Dr. Dave Stoop, a giant, the grandfather of Christian recovery, as I say. We're all right here. Let's talk to Amanda from Germantown, Maryland. Amanda, how are you doing today?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Wonderful. How's life there in your Germantown, Maryland?
It's pretty good. Pretty cold today, and we are expecting snow possibly tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Well, that does happen, doesn't it?
It sure does.
All right. Well, how can we help you today?
Sure. I have an issue setting boundaries. I'm an adult. I'm 25, and I'm learning about boundaries and codependency, and I'm realizing this has been an issue for me growing up with my parents. I think it's really impacted me kind of living my life as a young woman, and it's been very difficult now that I'm learning the way that God wants things to be for our lives. And how it is not necessarily how basically the stark differences between like how my life is going and kind of what it should be.
If that so makes tell sense. Us specifically so, what are you talking about?
What do you mean?
Well, specifically, what are you talking about? What happened that crossed your boundaries as a young person that's impacting you today, and you're having difficulty with them now?
Okay, yes. So growing up, I saw my parents argue a lot. I saw they really weren't on the same page with a lot of things. They really weren't together. And as far as I remember, I always felt like I was put in the middle. I felt that I was to defend my mom or to be on her side because my dad was the bad guy. Mm-hmm. And I kind of learned that, you know, growing up, I've kind of learned that I was being used and controlled. I remember kind of just saying things because my mom told me to say it to my dad,
and vice versa. Yeah. Okay.
It's just growing up and witnessing that happening. Arguments. I mean, arguments didn't really. I mean, it's kind of okay now, but it's not stopped. Like. Once I got into middle school or high school, let's say.
Okay. So what's the question for us then? What's the question for us in that?
In this, it's kind of wondering where do I start? And, you know, I guess I'm learning a lot about codependency and boundaries, and I'm kind of not really understanding where to start.
Okay. Alice, let's see if Alice can get us started here. Alice, what do you think?
Yeah, Steve, I want to start actually with a question for you, Amanda. Could you give me the top two ways that you have tried to make inroads with this of being able to set boundaries and state your opinion?
In the past, like, I've tried to speak up and kind of say what I felt, but I would get shut down. And so I started to feel that, okay, like maybe something's wrong with me or the way with how I'm saying it. So speaking up isn't really working anymore. So that's the way I've tried it. I noticed that I've been really indirect when I don't like something. It shows up in my mood, but I know that's not, you know, it's not really the best way to tell someone, hey, I don't really like this. Like, I understand that being direct is the best.
I love way. Yes. And I love where your heart is with this, Amanda, because I have struggled with people pleasing my whole life, and I'm still a major work in progress myself. So I want to give you a couple of tips that have worked well for me and for others with this. I think folks like you and I who struggle to stand up and have a differing opinion from our parents, our family, or to say something that might disappoint other people, I think we have to practice in outside relationships where it's safer, where we don't have that heavy weight of it's a family relationship. So this is something I've literally had to work on doing myself. I joined a women's group at my church, and I'll take opinions that I'm afraid to share, and I'll bring it to that group because they're not my family. And it doesn't have the same weight, and it doesn't hold the same consequences. So not all that long ago, I didn't know politically what my group thought of what was going on in the country. And I brought my opinion to the group with much fear. But practicing like that with people that are safe has then helped me to be more honest and upfront with my own family. And for me, I wonder if this fits for you too, Amanda. For me, I started to learn and recognize how much I was actually lying. I justified it because I was trying to keep the peace. But in fact, I was lying a lot, sometimes just by omission. But Galatians 1:10 became a guiding verse for me in this, that we're not called to please other people, we're called to please God. And so putting that into practice first with safe people, and sometimes even role-playing what I needed to share with my family, then eventually helped me take it to my family. The last point, though, is I've often had to go back and grieve with my safe people because my fear, because of people being disappointed in me when I don't have the opinion maybe that they wanted me to have. But those ingredients have helped me make some inroads.
All right, Dave, you got a thought here?
Well, I'll just add to that. I like what you're saying, Alice. But what I get people to do is to disagree with the parent about some non-essential thing. I remember a guy was going to call his dad, and he stood on a chair to feel big. And he disagreed with his dad about snow tires. I mean, it was no big deal. And his dad just kind of went along with it, didn't faze him. It was like a testing it with the family and seeing that I do have a voice. And so practicing in a group, in a ladies Bible study with other women, since you're a woman, Amanda, if you're a man, I'd say get into a group with men. But don't be afraid to disagree on some peripheral kind of stuff with your family, because it gives you an independent voice, and it does make a difference for you.
So, really good advice there, guys. Talk politics and argue with your parents to find emotional freedom. And but you know, in reality, I would just say this because it's true. Your strength, Amanda, is not evil. What's evil is when someone tries to make you question your strength and makes you question your personhood. When you're really, as a 25-year-old adult, when you're finally saying, it's time for me to be who I am. So you really have to fight those messages that would, in one way or another, say to you, sit down, be quiet, don't rock the boat, that's what good little girls do. That isn't what good little girls do. Strong women stand up for what they believe is right. And they don't pay attention to people who can't handle that. And so the less time you spend in the presence of that parent that you were really, you could call it an enmeshment or emotionally abused by, the less time you give them access to your heart probably the better it's going to be at this stage. Dave, well, you had a thought there?
I think it's important, Amanda, that you deal with this. I'm glad you are, because if you don't deal with it and just kind of let it sit there and simmer, you'll end up in a marriage very similar mm-hmm. to your mom and dad.
Yeah, no kidding.
And you don't want that. So
no.
I applaud you for working on it, and don't give up. Don't stop.
Yeah, let me send you Dave's book, Smart Love. He and Jan wrote it. I think it'll really help you there because it's all about emotional intelligence. And a lot of times we see that the child is emotionally outrunning the emotional intelligence of the parent. And boy, do they ever have a hard time with it. I'm really glad that you called. I'll get that to you. Now, let's talk to, how about we talk to Maggie, Washington, D.C., listens on WAVA. Hi, how you doing? Are you there? Maggie. Well, we'll try her in just a bit. All right, let's go here to Linda, Orlando, Florida, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Hi, Linda. How are you?
Hi, I'm okay. How are you guys?
Doing all right. How can we help you today?
Okay, I will ask you my question, and then if you would like some background information, I can give you that.
Okay, what's going on?
I am recently broken up from a dating relationship about, I'd say, 3 weeks ago, and the issue is that we both attend the same church,
mm-hmm.
and I'm trying to figure out how to navigate through that. It's a situation where neither one of us are going to be leaving the church,
mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to work through the awkwardness of that.
Okay.
It seems like every time I get some healing, and then, of course, I see this person, it's almost like picking that scab off again.
Okay.
And
you're quite invested in this particular church?
I am, very much so, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he is also?
He is as well, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Dave, you got a thought here about should...
Well, there's a sense in which the visual always stirs up the remorse and the grieving. And I don't know if you have multiple services, but going to a different service, I would encourage you to face it, because it's just important to work your way through it, and you will be a lot healthier in the long run if you just face the facts and grieve and have some people that you can share it with and talk to about it that are in the same church and understand, and don't run away from it. And
Okay.
And Linda, I'm curious, could you share just one or two aspects about what's making this breakup so particularly difficult? Of course, any breakup is painful, but tell us just a little bit about, was it the length of the relationship, the depth of the commitment?
Sure. We had started dating last spring of 2017, and it was a situation where at that point we had dated for 6 weeks, and he was all in the relationship for about 2 weeks, and then he started to pull away. So the relationship was ended in about 6 weeks, and then in October of last year, we had decided to start dating again. And he had done some work and was assuring me that the same issues that happened last time would not happen again this time. And about 4 weeks into the relationship this time, those same issues reappeared. So the issues are things like, it was very clear he still has unresolved feelings for his ex-wife. He's divorced 10 years, but there's still some things there that he hasn't settled, and that was very much being brought into our relationship. And there's some codependency issues with his adult children as well. So I think for me, because I went back into the relationship a second time, I was very much trusting him that things were going to be different, and they weren't. I mean, at one point when we got back together, he was talking about marriage, and all was good for the first few weeks, and then the old patterns started to reappear. So I think I just very much, was wanting things to be different. And what he showed me in the beginning of when we started dating a second time was what a healthy relationship should be, but he could not sustain it.
Okay.
And right, I have a comment here. I have a comment for you real quick, all right? And then I'll let Alice finish.
Sure.
A lot of times when people are in a committed relationship for marriage and there's something really sad going on there, unhealthy, then I'll encourage this two-word phrase called amused detachment, where we sit back, we look at the other person, we see the game they're playing, we see how they want to, you know, kind of lock us in and push our buttons. And so we detach and almost look back and look on them with amusement that they're just doing what we know they do. It doesn't lock us in. In your situation, I would use two different words. It would be compassionate detachment. He couldn't do what he wanted to do and what you wanted him to do. He is so broken as a man. And perhaps if you could feel not passion or regret, but compassion on a man that is so stuck in this other relationship, he can't get on with his life, that might help you compassionately detach from him. Every time you see him, you would see him as not a man that failed you, but a sad man that's failing himself and failing what God would be calling him to do. Compassionate detachment sometimes can help us resolve the unresolved. We'll be back.
My husband had done the Every Man's Battles, and I thought, what? There's something for women?
The Restore Workshop is coming to Orange County, California, February 23rd through the 25th.
There are so many other people that are going through the same things that love the Lord, and it doesn't look very Jesus to do certain things and think certain things about your mate, but that's normal. I just got a new normal. It's not dark in there. It's very light. You literally hear people laughing that could not even smile or frown. I was that way as well. I was pretty much just flat. It happened almost immediately, the energy of everyone pulling together for restoration. It happens pretty fast.
To find out more about the Restore Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
It went from get out quick with the info to making friends.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Yeah, we're back. Steve Arterburn here, and let's go right back here and hear what Alice has to say. She's got some insight in a situation where two people going to the same church, bumping into each other, triggering each other. Alice, what are you thinking?
Linda, I just want to add one other step to what Dave had started with, which would be telling one of your safe people that attends that church what you're afraid will happen if and when you run into this ex-boyfriend of yours. And if it is just awkwardness, as you started off saying, or if you're afraid of being pulled back in again with that hope of could things be better, tell some safe people that can help hold you accountable and let them know how you hope to be able to respond to him. And I think that will help you step into what
That's
Dave
good.
Suggested.
Yeah. Makes it a team effort, to say the least. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. I agree. I actually do have an accountability partner who, yeah, very much is, you know, she has a little bit of concern that I might be pulled back in again, but at the same time, she's there encouraging me to move forward, you know, and to not look back and to have the hope that things are going to be different and to move on. So I very much, yeah, I very much appreciate that. I think, you know, like you were saying, to look at him as far as compassionate detachment, I think that's huge. I think that's going to be, it makes sense, you know, because there is compassion there. He's an awesome man. You know, I know he loves the Lord, but there's just things there that weren't letting him be all in.
I think
for me, a lot of it is the death of the dream.
Oh, sure.
You know, but yeah, no, I definitely appreciate that. And,
Well, I'm going to send you a copy of Is This the One? I think it'll help you in all areas of your dating life. And I would just say this. If you look at Scripture, there are a lot of people who have dreams. The dream dies, and then there is the birth of a brand new dream, and I'm going to hope and pray that for you. I got a note from a listener that said, it will be a year in September since I accidentally found your program on Sirius Radio. I was severely depressed. I considered checking myself in for help. And to a hospital. But I went to Take Your Life Back, and I read your book before I went. I just want to say thank you. God gave me a lifeline through your program using God's Word to help people. I give the Lord the glory. Wow. Thanks, guys and gals at New Life Ministry. Well, you can get that book that Dave and I wrote. You could come to the workshop, Take Your Life Back, if you need something. Or you could support us in trying to reach more people that need to take their lives back, where Satan has a stronghold, or there's just a wound, or there's a fear, or some kind of emotional problem, spiritual problem that just has a grip. If you can help us, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Please call us, and we'll send you 7 choices you could make to heal. All right, let's go over here and talk to Zoe. Riverside, California, KKLA is the station. Hi, Zoe. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. Sorry for the background.
No problem.
I'm on my break at work. I'm a 33-year-old single female, and my parents recently have they have a guest house that they rent out, and their tenant left. And my parents and I have had issues in the past. I grew up in a conservative Christian legalistic home, and I used to rent their back home 5 years ago, and they kicked me out. We just did not agree on certain boundaries. So now, 5 years later, I'm doing well. I did personal development with a Christian therapist, and my parents have realized that they probably were a little too strict and very critical with me, and they're asking me to move back and rent their back home, and I'm just so conflicted because I've done so much work, and I think I'm just scared of going back into the same environment or home of their criticism and renting it out. And I mean, I'm renting on my own and I'm doing well, and I can see that my parents are very genuine. They want me to, they have changed in a way, but I'm just not sure if they really have. And you know, what if, because they're my parents, they tend to be controlling and get involved.
Let me ask you this.
I'm just so conflicted. Okay. Like, I do want us to work on our relationship, and I've told them we can start with me not renting your back home, and we can get together and work. But I'm
wise.
Not sure. I'm just so conflicted.
I think that's very smart.
About it, and
but let me ask you this. Hold on
week.
A second. Let me ask you a question here. I think you're on the right track.
Sure.
Well, what's the advantage if you did rent from them? What's good about that for you personally?
I'm sorry, can you repeat your question? What's good about...
What would be good for you in renting from them? Is there any benefit? Is it like a better place for less money? Is it more convenient?
The only benefit would be that I get to bring my dog. I have a little small dog, and where I currently rent, the landlord has her dogs, and I can't bring my little dog, so he's with a friend. They're taking care of him for me. So with their property, I can bring that dog with me.
All right, so that's something to consider on the plus side. On the plus side, that's to consider. But I agree that there are a lot of ways to work on that relationship without living in their backyard and having them observe everything and get back into your life. Alice, what are you thinking here?
Well, Zoe, quick question. Since they kicked you out, have you not had much communication with them in the intervening years?
Yeah, I really haven't. I mean, they really, yeah, not really. When I do, I go pick up some mail and I say hi to them. And
okay, then I also think...
Other than that, I really haven't had much communication.
Then Zoe, I'm going to step in as you...
the Blue Moon and say, how are you guys doing? And but they really don't.
So, Zoe, I'm going to step in here to say that I think you're right in that having a little bit of contact and growing that over time to see how the relationship is now as the years have progressed would be the wisest step to make before making any commitment to live with them.
And family is very powerful as a unit, and it sucks you right back into where you used to be if you're not careful.
Amazing how things change once people get what they want.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, hey, honey, watch this with me. And they'll sit down and they'll watch that five-minute clip, and that five-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix, so we canceled Netflix and subscribe to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem, and it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. And we've got Shelley Martinkus here with us. And Shelley, how you doing?
Hi, I'm great. How are you, Steve?
Doing okay. As many of you know, Shelley is the one that is in charge of Restore, which is a hope for a woman's heart. And so many women who thought, all I have to do is wait for this guy to get his act together, then they go to Restore and find out, oh, wow, there is so much that I can do other than just sit around and wait for him to get his act together. But let me ask you this. What is it that a betrayed woman, a woman who put everything, all that she had, into this relationship with the guy, what is it that she needs to know?
Well, I think first and foremost, she needs to know that she is not alone, and she is not crazy. I guess there's three things. Not alone, not crazy, and this is not her fault.
Yeah, right, right.
Boy, that last one's a hard one to get through.
It is. It
even when you say it out loud, even when you, oh, yeah, I know, this isn't all about me and all that, it's still difficult to keep it from yourself.
Right. Well, and it's really hard because there's so much shame with when a woman finds out that her husband has cheated on her, whether it's pornography, affairs, whatever it might be. There's so much shame that it makes it really difficult to go process it with people and realize, one, they're not alone. Number two, it's not their fault. So you know, that's what the Restore Conference or the Restore Workshop, that's one of the best things about it, is women come together and realize, oh my goodness, I'm not alone. And I'm not going crazy. These other women are sharing the same things that I am feeling and thinking.
Yeah. Okay, I want you to address something here, because a lot of times a man will have this attitude. Well, you know, hey, look, I didn't have an affair. I was just looking at pornography. And then I hear from women, the pornography was worse than if he had had an affair. Now, mm-hmm. can you explain that? Because a lot of guys think they're so virtuous in just pornography, and yet the pain to her can be as much or more than if it was a real person.
Absolutely. So first off, we cannot judge anyone else's pain, right? And we can't rank people's pain. So that's the first thing. We have no idea, a woman dealing with the betrayal of pornography versus a woman dealing with the betrayal of an affair. We have no idea what other pain they've experienced in their life that has brought them to this point. Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's the first thing. But the second thing, and this is a gal once, this was so poignant. She said, you know what, for you, pointing to another gal, she was like, for you, it's one man. And not to minimize that woman's pain at all, she said, but for you, it's one man. For me, it's everywhere. It's every billboard. It's every magazine. Mm-hmm. It's every woman that I see. So that might kind of help put to words why it can be so incredibly painful when it's, quote, unquote, just pornography.
Yeah. So in your experience, what's the biggest reason that a woman will not come, that she'll just put it off and think, no, not going to do it?
Well, I just talked to a woman last week that was interested in the Restore Workshop, and her biggest hesitation was leaving her three children at home. Mm-hmm. And just how would it go with her not being there and her husband, whom has betrayed her, whom she has lost respect and trust for, what would it be like for the weekend without her there? So I think that's one of the biggest drawbacks is leaving children.
Yeah. So you have to figure out how to not leave them if it's not safe. You have to figure out an option, another alternative. Because you're worth it. You're worth going. And there's scholarship available. And I just hope and pray that people would come. Tell us one story of somebody that came, and you know life has never been the same since.
Yeah, well, and let me just go back to what you're just asking, just to loop back to that gal. She emailed me yesterday and told me she registered for Restore. So she figured out the child care piece, and she's coming. So it is possible.
It is possible.
Yeah. So as far as just what I've seen, you know, there's one gal in particular that comes to mind, and she was just at the last Restore conference in the D.C. area in November, and she came in, she sat in the front row the whole time. And, I mean, it literally, and Alice, I mean, you've been with me at the Restore Workshop, so you know what this looks like. I mean, it looked like she was carrying a ton of weight on her back as she came in, you know, and sat down in the main room. And I knew her. She's from Denver. I know her. I've been in contact with her. And so, you know, I just was, like, watching her throughout the weekend and just wondering, like, okay, how are things going? And by the end of the weekend, her back was straight. She was smiling. There was joy on her face. Mm. And I've actually had the privilege of continuing to get to know her since November. And life is so different for her today. And it's not that she came home and changed her husband, just to be clear, but something changed inside of her heart over the weekend, where she came home and she was able to use her voice with her husband and practice healthy detachment. And what happened is her husband realized, oh my goodness, she's serious serious about this, and she's going somewhere, and I want to get on that train with her. Hmm. And so what did he do? He started going back to counseling, and he started working his recovery.
Well, that's such a great story of not waiting for somebody else to do something. Do what you can do, and then you just never know what the impact is. Of that's going to be. Well, you are a transformer, Shelley, and I am so grateful for you and what you do to transform women's lives. Shelley Martinkus, she'll be there. Restore. You call us if you don't have the financial resources. Scholarship money is available, and we want you to come. And the phone number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Just call. Tell them why it is you think you can't, and maybe we can help you figure out all the reasons that you can. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right, let's go back to the phones, and let's talk with Sharon, Pierre, South Dakota. Hi, Sharon. Welcome to New Life. How you doing?
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Oh,
what's going on?
Well, I feel like I'm I feel like I'm kind of in a mess, yet trapped in place here, like the previous caller a couple of times back. But
okay.
Here's the deal. I'll try to. It's so complicated, but I'll try to make it as short as I can here. The techniques are stonewalling and gaslighting. Mm-hmm. And the gaslighting is the one that makes my brain capacity decrease, and I just start kind of falling apart. But my husband, I was diagnosed with bipolar, 15 years ago, but I'm drug resistant. I take homeopathic stuff for that, but I think my husband uses that. He uses my anxiety. He puts himself to be a victim, and then my anxiety is why he has to punish me. It's just crazy. But and then I think he's got a, I don't know, I could be wrong, but maybe he's got a narcissistic personality disorder. He brings in people from all different countries to this huge plant that's opening up here in Heron, and people from China call him and come and get a job at the plant. And he teaches a Sunday school class with the Quran, the escape Myanmar and into Thailand and stuff. And he lives for performing, because in his family, if you perform,
so what's the,
you're
what's
okay.
the question for us?
You don't, well, my question is, I am scared to go. I feel trapped, and I'm scared. I don't know if I should. I don't trust him because these things come up, and I got the question here in 1 second. But these things come up in front of our family. Okay, at a holiday, they were just here, and it happened again. It's like it goes in cycles, and so I don't know if I should go to this family trip that's planned in Myrtle Beach, Florida, because my daughter-in-law's parents own a condo there, and they're inviting us, and we would pay a real reasonable price. But it's like I don't know if I should go. I said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to go to that place or not, because I have to protect myself. I never know when this is going to happen, but we know that it happens in front of the kids and our grandkids. So that kind of like, I don't know if there's a real early cue I could take, like, okay, back out now, because he'll raise his voice and go, keep it up. When he really means like he's going to take me down, he'll raise his voice up two notches.
All right.
Keep
well, let's, up. Keep it up. Right, we're going to take a break. We'll take a break, come back and try to give you some help. You know, it's so sad when we're in relationships where we're stuck. It just takes a little willingness on the part of both. We'll be back. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we are back. And, Alice, I mean, we've got all sorts of stuff going on here and a very abusive man holding her down. And what do you think?
Well, Sharon, it sounds like there's a lot that goes into this trip, and it might be costly for you not to go. So what I'd ask you to do to try to help clarify your thinking is to make a list of both the pros of going and then the cons of not going. What would you miss out on if you didn't go on this trip? But is it more worthwhile to protect yourself emotionally and not go and perhaps disappoint some people by not going, but that might be better for you this time? So write that list out and go over it with someone who knows you well and cares for you and talk it through with them to decide which battle is worth fighting here for you.
Yeah, Dave, a comment here?
I think whether you go or don't go, you have to speak the truth to your husband. And I would suggest not going and saying, I'm tired of being put down all the time, so I'm going to stay home. And he might get his attention. He might get the attention of your kids. I'm surprised your kids don't support you and kind of do it. But he's pretty good at what he does, and he probably does it to them as well.
Well, and Sharon, above and beyond this trip, this sounds like such an ongoing issue for you. So I would ask you to look for ongoing help with a therapist and even to let your husband know, I'm going to get help for this because it's not just this trip. This happens all the time to us,
right.
And I don't want to live this way. And invite
Absolutely.
Him to go with you.
Yeah, good. Very, very good. All right, let me send you smart love. I hope that can help you. And I'll just say, these are the situations, you know, where our intimacy workshop, our marriage workshop weekend, that workshop can make a difference in these kind of situations. So if you're struggling in your marriage, please consider what we're doing. And that's coming up. That's the 16th of February. Let's go to Maggie, Washington, D.C. Hi, Maggie. How you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Great. How can we help you today?
Okay, I have a daughter, grown daughter, adult, who is 24, who has made her way through college, almost graduated, but she's changed majors a couple times, so it's taken her a little longer. But she, for a long time, has been making really good money. And recently, in the last 6 months, she told me, she had told me that the reason she was making good money is because she was bartending. But then it came out, the truth came out about 6 months ago that she was stripping.
That was tough, huh?
And, yeah. And I have lots of worries and lots of concerns. But to narrow it down, the thing that's bothering me the most is that it's created this distance between us.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how, I feel like I'm losing her.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to keep us close. It feels very superficial now. It feels
right,
like,
right. Because of the shame,
withdrawing. Yeah.
So how did the real key here, are you aware of how she started that?
What do you mean exactly?
Well, some people get into it because a person says, hey, you know, I want you to be a model and you have to do this. Or do you know how it happened for her?
She had some close girlfriends that were doing it that, you know, she thought the money was very attractive. She's a very attractive girl. And I think it was just something easy that she could fall into where she could make a lot of money very fast.
And do you know how she feels about it? I know how she feels about the money, but do you know how she feels about doing it?
She doesn't appear, like, when we have talked about it, she doesn't appear to have any shame. But I know her heart, and I know that she does because she's, like, withdrawn from me.
Yeah.
She knows that I don't approve.
Maggie, there's...
But I'm not...
There's a lot you don't know, it sounds like. And one of the ways that I would get close to her is have some discussions about these things. How did this start? You know, how do you handle it? How do you handle the not telling somebody that's where you work? And just in a non-judgmental, accepting way, get her to talk about what she's feeling, how she started, and how she plans to get out.
Genuinely care about how it happened, how she feels about it, and find out that, and be willing to not react to no matter, you know, whatever she says. You know, just because that is the bridge back to her, is to find out how it started, how she felt, how she feels now. That's the bridge.
And Maggie, I would ask you and her father to look back at how you reacted when you first found out. And of course, it makes sense to be concerned, to be distraught, especially if you brought her up in a believing home. But to look back to see, did anything I say or anything her father say really push her away more? Did we overreact, so to speak, when we found out? And to take responsibility for that. Of course, sweetheart, you know how we believe and you know what we want for you. But I may have been mistaken in what I said or how strongly I said it to you. And maybe I caused some of the distance between us.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you're wanting that. Yeah, I'm out of time, but I just want to affirm you for wanting the connection to be the priority there, because it really is. That is, I mean, that's all you have, is to try to have that connection to, so you can continue to nurture her and speak truth to her and be there when the plan that she has in the back of her head just might not be working out the way that she thought. I'm glad that you called.
The connection gives the best chance for future influence to bring her back into the belief system, back into living out her beliefs.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's always our tough answer for parents whose kids are doing stuff that they just absolutely don't want them to do. God gives us the power to love when it is almost impossible, to have grace when what we want to do is lash out. And we need people to help us stay on that track, because the other option, it just doesn't help anything.
And accepting and loving our child is totally different than agreeing with what they're doing. And we can love and accept them without agreeing with their behavior.
Yeah, I'm just convinced that so many people feel like they must convince their children they don't agree with what they're doing. And the children are 100% aware of what they believe.
And they're not children anymore.
Yeah, so true, Dave. Well, if you need help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and if you can help us, it's that same number. Sometimes we're the only counseling that anybody can afford, and we want to be there whenever that's the case. We can only do that if you partner with us and you help us, and you can help us by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But if you're struggling with pornography or objectifying women, or it's strip clubs or affairs, Every Man's Battle, that's going to happen right here this weekend. You can come and be with us. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Or if any area of your life is, you're just so full of shame and guilt or fear, take your life back. There's the key right there. That's coming up in March. And then any couple can have a better marriage if they'll come to our weekend intensive. It's not just a seminar like others, but you do the work, and oh, you literally can transform the worst marriages into something wonderful, and you can transform pretty good ones into some really special relationships. That, all of that, plus a counselor network, our workshop that Shelley Martinkus was talking about, Restore, all of that is at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Just call us. And if you can help us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Alice. See you next time, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.